He's a bass baritone who joined Stuttgart State Opera in 1973, and he's still closely associated with the company. And now coming on stage, the chorus masters. Stephen Jackson, chorus master of the BBC Symphony Chorus, David Temple of the Crouch End Festival Chorus, and Jeremy Summerly of the New London Chamber Choir. And that great cheer is for all those chorus members. And the members of the BBC Symphony Orchestra applauding and being applauded by Jukka-Pekka Saraste, who I must say has remained fantastically cool, calm and collected throughout this massive work. He's asking the various sections to stand. Sterling work done by the brass, the woodwind, percussion, timpanists, the harps, four of them, and all of the strings. This enormous orchestra. You may have heard some of the players earlier saying that never in their careers have they played with such enormous forces on stage. Well, the applause here will go on for a while, but there we leave you and return for the rest of this Sunday evening on Radio 3 to Katrina Young back at Broadcasting House.
Thank you, Penny. That was Penny Gore. And there's another chance to hear tonight's prom on Friday week. That's the 24th of August at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And of course, we'll be back at the Royal Albert Hall many times before then. Our next visit is for the prom tomorrow evening when Susanna Malky conducts the Philharmonia in music by Prokofiev and Bartok and the UK premiere of a work by Olga Neuwirth. That starts at 7:30 tomorrow. Now on BBC Radio 3, it's just after 10 o'clock and it's time for World Roots with a final programme of highlights from this year's WOMAD Festival. It's introduced by Lucy Duran.
Well, with all the rain we've had for month after month, this spring and summer, it looked like we were in for another WOMUD year, like the one we had back in 2007. But no, the sun came out, the water dried up and I think this has been the busiest WOMAD I've ever seen. We're told there are 37,000 festival goers here, and it certainly looks like it. It's been a very successful 30th anniversary WOMAD weekend, and here on Radio 3, we've been bringing you 12 hours of the best of this festival. And for this final highlights programme, I've chosen three more of my personal favourites. Later on, we'll hear some of the Sunday night set from the Siam Tent by veteran Malian singer and guitarist Boubacar Traoré, and we'll also feature the Algerian superstar Khalid. First, an artist who's long been something of a star in Azerbaijan, where she comes from, but her performance on the BBC Radio 3 stage was her UK debut. Fruits magazine described Nazaket Teymurova as a magnificent, utterly world-class singer, and I'm very happy to go along with that description, and I'm sure you will be too when you hear her singing the classical Mugam repertoire of her country, Azerbaijan. One member of the audience came up to me afterwards and told me that her voice had blown him away and made him weep, and I'd say the whole audience was pretty spellbound by her music. So, from Friday afternoon at WOMAD on the Radio 3 stage, this is Nazaket Teymurova. Thank you.
Çünkü mən aşıqəm, həm xosrov şirin səxənəyəm, ay canım ey. Sevgi varımdır vətənəm Necə ki bülbül şeydə aşıq olur çəmənəm İndi Fərhad gərəkdi Mən olaydım bu günə Çünki mən aşıqəm Həm xosrov şirin səxənə Gəl Züleyxada vəfaya Olsaydı aləmdə Mm-hmm. resmiyiz. Şur desyahının biz hayş eday tarzanın.
That was the truly astounding voice of Nazaket Teymurova, a singer in the Mugam tradition of Azerbaijani classical music. And that was her UK debut performance right here at the Radio 3 stage on the Friday afternoon of WOMAD weekend. Now for another of my personal WOMAD favourites, Boubacar Traoré from Mali. I first met him in 1990 in Paris when he was living in one of the hostels for Malian immigrants on the outskirts of the city. He was about to release his first solo album on the Stearns label. But way before then, back in the 1960s, he made a name for himself with his song Mali Twist, which was an acoustic Malian version of, yes, The Twist. Karkar, as he's affectionately known in Mali, is a singer and guitarist with a soulful voice and beautiful, rather mournful, sad melodies that have earned him the epithet of Mali Bluesman. He's the soundtrack for Mali's ups and downs over the past 50 years since independence, and he's still going strong. So here from the Siam tent on the last afternoon of WOMAD 2012, all the way from Mali, is Boubacar Traoré.
Bonsoir! Thank you.
Well, I'm here with one of the great voices of Mali. His name is Boubacar Traoré. He's better known in Mali as Karkar, and that is how I am going to refer to him. He's backstage here at WOMAD, and we've just been listening to his music from his set late in the evening at the Siam tent. Karkar, I know that you've been playing your music for, well, since the days of independence in Mali, and you always play with your acoustic guitar, and you have your beautiful songs. Has your music changed a lot since the days of the 1960s when you first began performing?
Ça a beaucoup changé. Très, très, très bien. Ça a beaucoup changé complètement. Parce que les années 60...
My music has changed a lot since the 1960s. Back then, in the 1960s, I had songs like Mali Twist, Mariama, Kaiba, and others, which were huge success all over, not only in Mali, but in the entire region. And they were always the records that were asked for, that were requested on Saturdays and Sundays and on the radio.
J'ai laissé la musique pendant 20 ans.
I wasn't playing any music for 20 years, and the reason I started playing music again is that someone rediscovered me in Kai and invited me to come onto the ORTM, onto the national television of Mali, and I played there. People thought I was dead, but I wasn't dead. I was absolutely still alive. I played on TV, and a local cassette producer, because that's the only thing that was around at the time, asked me to come and record a series of songs, record a cassette, an album. And then I also did a session of 8 songs on the radio, of which one of the key songs was this song, Mariama. And that song, it was in 1980 time, was also the year that my wife, Françoise, died in childbirth. And it was the next year that I was invited to go to Europe and play in the UK. And this song, Mariama, was the song that sort of took me over there.
And are you going to play Mariama tonight?
Well, ça dépend, quoi. Ça dépend.
So, will I play it tonight? Well, it depends. Why not? It's the song that really established my career. It's the song that people know because it was England, it was this country that basically gave me a new lease of life, gave my career a new lease of life in 1991. This is when I came. I did loads of concerts here. I got to know loads of English people, like Lucy and others. And why not play Mariama? Perhaps I'll play it tonight just for the good memory of those times and because it's a song that's appreciated. appreciated here. And it's a blues song as well, yeah.
So, Karka, when you say it's a blues song, what exactly do you mean?
Bon, par ça, parce que le blues, ça vient de l'Afrique, bon.
Mariama, so Mariama is a very old song from where I come from, Kai. It's a song that's sung by the Kasonke people, who are the people of Kai. And traditionally it's played with a djembe, with percussion and instruments like that. But I played it on the guitar. So the reason I call it a blues song is because if I were to call it a danza song, nobody would understand what I'm talking about. Because the Americans have dominated with their language, the way people communicate, the right thing is to call it blues, and then people understand the kind of music I play if I call it the blues rather than any local style of music, which it is also at the same time.
So your songs, they tell stories, Karkar?
So my songs tell stories. They tell stories of sadness. They tell stories of suffering, because I've suffered a lot. But Mariama is a song that is very much requested for many people. Even, for instance, when I play in front of ambassadors or various important African people, they demand this song all the time because it reminds them of their youth. So it's a very powerful song for that reason.
Karkar, I've always known you as Karkar, but everyone here is saying Boubacar Traoré. Why are you called Karkar?
Boubacar, ça c'est mon vrai nom de famille.
Okay, so Boubacar Traoré is my name, my proper name, but since the age of 14 I've been known as Karkar because I was one of the best footballers in my region, and when I played I would always score a couple of goals, two or three goals, and when I played I used to weave in and out, dribble in and out of people, and all the spectators would shout out in the Bamana language, which is the language is spoken there, Karkari, Karkari, that means the person who dribbles, who just beats the player. So that's why I became known as Boubacar, aka Karkar. And when I began to sing on the radio, when my songs became known throughout the region, that name just stuck, and it stuck with me ever since.
Wonderful. So this is Karkar, Boubacar Traoré, at the Siam tent here at WOMAD 2012.
Mariama, na Mariama kaba, Mariama.
That was the great Boubacar Traoré, better known as Karkar, playing on stage in the Siam tent late on Sunday night here at WOMAD. But I want to end our summer highlights from this festival with another veteran musician, someone whose music has the power to get any crowd up on their feet and dancing. He's the Algerian Rai singer. Well, you can't avoid the cliché, he is the king of Rai. And of course, I'm talking about Khaled. Rai music was the popular music of dissent on the streets of the cities of Algeria, the music of the youth, and more than anyone else, it was Cheb Khaled, as he was known at the time, Cheb means youth, who made this music popular for a world audience. Well, he's certainly not a Cheb anymore, but he's lost none of that cheeky energy and vigor that makes him such an engaging artist, as you can hear in this Saturday night performance on the open air stage here at WOMAD 2012.
Thank you. Applauso! Un grand bravo à Jackie Jenny! Jenny from India! Thank you! Thank you! No, Sarah, Sarah. Yeah, okay, okay. Yo, yo, yo, yo, yo, yo, yo.
Écoute-moi, la la la la la. regarde moi. Elle a dit garde tes trésors.
Khalid performing on the main stage at the WOMAD Festival last month. That programme of highlights was introduced by Lucy Duran. And in case you feel you still need a little more of WOMAD, well, there are sound clips and pictures on the Radio 3 website. BBC Radio 3 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. It's just after 11 o'clock. Time for Jazz Lineup with Claire Martin.
Hello. Trumpet of Abraham Wilson. This week we pay tribute to Abraham and play the set he recorded for us in 2009, his Life Paintings project. And prolific jazz legend Pat Metheny tells us about his new CD with his Unity Band and how the group was formed and why. All that on this week's Jazz Lineup. Well, it must be hard on an up-and-coming male jazz singer when your dad just happened to be one of the most celebrated jazz singers of all time, with three Grammys to boot. But never fear, whilst James Tormé has been hailed by the New York Post as definitely his father's son, smooth and cool, he is his own man and has a very impressive jazz sensibility and a natural musicianship that's very evident on the track I've chosen from his release of the same name, Love for Sale. Just when you thought you couldn't possibly hear another version of the Cole Porter classic written in 1930 for the musical The New Yorkers, think again, as James's arrangement might just knock your socks off.
Love for sale. Appetizing young love for sale. Love that's fresh and still unspoiled. Love that's only slightly soiled. Love for sale. Who will buy? Who would like to sample her supply? Who's prepared to pay the price for a trip to paradise? Love for sale. That's the poet's pipe of love in their childish way. She's known every type of love better far than they. She's been through the mill of love. She's known every thrill of love. Old love, new love, every love but true. Love for sale. Appetizing young love for sale. If you want to buy her wares, follow her and climb the stairs. Love for... Let the poet's pipe of love in their charming way. She knows every type of love better far than they. She's been through the mill of love, known every thrill of love. Old love, new love, every type of truce. Love, love for sale. Appetizing young love for sale. If you want to buy her wares, follow her and climb the stairs. Love for sale. Love for sale. Climb the stairs. Buy her wares, still unspoiled. Slightly soiled. Love, love, love for... Love for sale, love for sale, love for sale, love for sale.
The swinging vocals of James Tourmé from his new CD, Love for Sale, his debut album for the E1 music label, and a great arrangement of Cole Porter's Love for Sale. Other standards on the album are What Are You Doing the Rest of Your Life, and they sit very comfortably alongside more modern soul and R&B influences. Israeli bassist Avishai Cohen has a new release out now. It's a duo affair with pianist Nitai Hershkovitz, whom he first heard in a little cafe in downtown Tel Aviv. Their duo was swiftly formed and the CD is called Duende, which can be translated from Spanish as spirit. And that's particularly apt as they both deliver an uplifting set of original material written by Avishai Cohen, who's inspired by folk melodies, jazz, classical and Middle Eastern music. Let's hear the track Souf. Thank you. From the new CD by Avishai Cohen and Nitai Hershkovitz, that was the original composition entitled Soof, and that CD, Duende, is available on the Blue Note EMI label. Avishai will be playing for 3 nights at Ronnie Scott's Club in Soho on the 15th, 16th and 17th of October. Make sure you book early for that, as he's always a sellout. Well, let's have a sneak preview now of a release set for a September launch by pianist-composer extraordinaire Django Bates. Following the success of his 2010 Beloved Bird recording, which gained many five-star reviews, Django's new release, Confirmation, includes 3 more reworkings of Charlie Parker tunes, deconstructed and reconstructed as only Django can. Also on the CD is this arrangement of the Miles Davis standard Donna Lee, with Peter Eld on double bass and Peter Brun on drums, Django, of course, on the piano. Let's hear his version of Donna Lee. Characteristically witty end to Miles Davis's Donna Lee, played by Django Bates, Peter Eld and Peter Brun from Django's soon-to-be-released new CD called Confirmation. And I can confirm that Django will be coming into the Jazz Lineup studios in the next few weeks to tell me all about this new recording. Looking forward to that very much. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin. Released just back in June is the latest creation from Pat Metheny. And after the towering complexity of the Orchestrion album, Metheny turns to the relative tranquil company of saxophone, drums and bass on his latest album, Unity. We caught up with Pat Metheny on the line from his home in New York to talk about this new venture, and Kevin LeGendre started by asking him about the new band Unity, with Chris Potter on reeds, Ben Williams on the bass and Antonio Sanchez on the drums. What determines him forming a new group?
I get to do a lot of different things and have done a lot of different things, and you know, so much of my interest over the years has been in, you know, trying to come up with kind of alternative type ways of looking at it. You know, I'm even playing in a trio with just guitar, bass, and drums is you know, somewhat off the beaten path a little bit in terms of instrumentation. I mean, you know, it's something that has become more common, but, you know, at the time in the, you know, early 70s when I started, it was still fairly unusual to do a guitar, bass, and drums kind of thing. And, you know, certainly my regular band has been all about sort of investigating different ways to have a small group function, and all of these alternative ways of thinking, not to mention the Orchestrion and, you know, other kinds of things, have been, to me, almost in relation to the conventional kind of, you know, horn with rhythm section kind of thing that pervades so much of the music.
It's interesting that you talk about these different explorations of instrumentation and sound, because the guitar sax frontline, for want of a better term, is still relatively unusual in jazz. I mean, I can think off the top of my head of sort of recent significant examples of that, like Kurt Rosenwinkel and Mark Turner, or maybe John Scofield and Joe Lovano. Or over here in the UK, we have a very good group called Partisans, which features Julian Siegel and Phil Robson. But guitar and sax still remains a relatively unusual combination, and I think the texture, the tonality, the harmony that those two instruments can create is very, very rich.
My reference point to it in a lot of ways is this sort of Stan Getz, Jimmy Rainey stuff, which to me really set a standard of in terms of blend. You know, it's particularly tenor and guitar are in very similar registers. The kind of meat of the tenor range is sort of right where the meat of the guitar range is. So it's a natural fit in terms of register. The sound that guitar and tenor can make is just such a great ensemble blend that I think it makes it very attractive from a writing standpoint. Well, a lot of people know that over the last couple of years I've been, you know, really involved in this thing with, you know, the Orchestrion project and all that stuff, which I think finally put to rest once and for all the question about how weird exactly I am. And
so the Orchestrion being this enormous, weird and wonderful machine, really.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, hundreds of mechanical instruments and voices all mixed together. My idea was to try to integrate that with, you know, the group, and, you know, with Chris and Ben and Antonio, and kind of set up an environment, a platform for this to all happen in, and that's represented on the track Signals.
Thank you.